Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 262, Elijah, a Man Just Like Us. Pastor Don Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, June 5th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise God. He is good. I would like to begin with prayer then this morning. And for those of you listening online or however you hear the message, and those of you here, the opening prayer is one that perhaps most of you have memorized because we used it repeatedly during our study of the authority of the believer. And so much of what I pray comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for you are so good. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your presence with us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would envelop this space. And Father, we pray that you would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can come to know you better. That was Paul's prayer repeatedly for the Ephesus church. To just hear words and not receive revelation, you just as well listen to music in a mall. So, Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may come to know you better. That you would open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding that we may be enlightened and come to know your incomparably great power for us who believe. And we believe you to do that, Father, so we thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. To me, it's interesting in that verse, about verse 19, that Paul makes reference in his prayer, not just to God's power, not just to God's great power, but to God's incomparably great power for us. I believe that we are living in times when the power of God is so vital, never take it for granted. And therefore, there is a little phrase that came to my mind some years back, and I would like to share it with you first and then have you repeat it with me if you choose. The only one who can limit the amount of God's power working in me, for me, and through me is me. Please say that with me. The only one who can limit the amount of God's power working in me, for me, and through me is me. Once more. The only one who can limit the amount of God's power working in me, for me, and through me is me. Praise God. You see, God is no respecter of persons. And even before I begin with the message, I would like to share from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Beginning with verse 2, verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord replied, so these are words of God. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. I'm just checking to see if there are pens and paper out here. And online? Okay. You see, one thing about paper, it never forgets. Paper has an extraordinary memory. Because I trust, or I hope, I'm believing that there are some scriptures that will be shared today that you will want to go back and review and look at. So write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. That is the word of God. The title of our message today is Elijah, a man just like us. Elijah, a man just like us. And those are just words quoted directly from the New International Version in James chapter 5, the first part of verse 17, but we will share verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man just like us. So that has to be a truth, right? It's contained in the Word of God. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Elijah, a man just like us. You know, we really need one of you to step up to the plate these days. Because according to some, that would really solve the greatest problem in our world today and would be reverse and remove the extraordinary stress and concern that our president, our climate czar, former Senator and Secretary of State John Kerry, AOC, and many world leaders say that they have a lot of stress and concern these days. Their solution for climate change, well, Elijah prayed that there would be rain, that there would not be rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and then he prayed for rain, and it rained. That sounds like dealing with climate to me. So this solution for climate change would seem to cost millions, perhaps billions, or even trillions of dollars, and is causing extraordinary inflation, exorbitant gas and food prices, with even some foods not on the shelves. And could even result in a much feared recession. Yeah? Isn't that what you hear? We really need an Elijah today. We really need an Elijah today. Now, as we shared with you, he prayed for no rain and then he prayed for rain. I mean, when was the last time that you prayed that God would hold off the rain so that you could finish your mowing job? Okay. Or don't you guys even pray for that? Let alone 3.5 years? But James had the audacity to say that Elijah was a man just like us. In our cell groups, we are engaged in studying the times of Elijah and Elisha through a book entitled Persevere with Power by Pastor Samuel Rodriguez. I've been hearing glowing reports from our cell group members, and would highly encourage others to join us in the weeks ahead. And some of you we have that are listening online, we have meetings in person too. You don't have to hide behind a computer all the time. You could come and be a part, an active part. Now, since James, who wrote the words we quoted, who was undoubtedly the brother of Jesus and a leader of the church in Jerusalem, wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Elijah was a man just like us, I would like to take a look at us. By taking an overview of the life and times of Elijah in the message today. I know I'll never have time for Elisha too, so that'll be for next week then, okay. So who is this Elijah that he would be one of the Old Testament characters that we are focusing on for some several weeks? Now, before we look at the man, the times that he was living in, and the things he did, please consider the warnings that the Apostle Paul expressed to the Corinthian church. And for this, I would like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Write it down now where it's found in case you need to review this and didn't catch everything, okay? Beginning with verse 1, we read these words. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, and he's about to share some facts, Paul, in writing to the church. So these are some facts. Tanya shared some facts in some of her opening remarks. Shara shared some facts as she received the offering. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers, and please notice how frequently the word all occurs, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were all, did you see that? They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That's a baptism you may have overlooked in the past. Amen? So you see, in the elementary teachings of God's word referred to in Hebrews chapter 6, when it says baptisms, that's plural. And it's even more than just water baptism and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism referred to here. Okay, it goes on in verse 3. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with three of them. Oh, I'm being corrected. It says most. God was not pleased with most of them, and they all had the same experience. You see, we can all sit in this same room or listen to this same online message, and that doesn't mean that it benefits everyone. God was not pleased with most of them. It goes on. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and to got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did, and they were killed by snakes. Oh, and Tanya was sharing about snakes, and they were killed by snakes. We didn't coordinate this at all. I, I guess there is a Holy Spirit. Verse 10, and this one none of us have ever offended in, for sure. Verse 10. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. I wanted to share these words because we are looking at two Old Testament prophets, okay? And there are many things within the Old Testament that were written as examples and warnings for us. Now, my message isn't teaching Pastor Rodriguez's book, okay? So it's sharing some things from a little different perspective. So you still need to come to the cell group meetings to get the full book, okay? So, also be sure you don't say harsh things against the Lord. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Oh, we know what that chapter's about. That's all about what Sarah was talking about, bringing the money. Hello? It's okay to smile once in a while, okay? Malachi chapter 3. And actually, I'm not talking about tithes when I said, be sure that we don't say harsh things against the Lord. But you say, I don't. You don't. That's really, really good. James would also be proud of you governing your tongue, right? Well, what does Malachi 3 say, beginning with verse 13? Oh, God says, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? Verse 14, you have said, it is futile to serve God. See, that's why our room isn't filled. And we probably have the ability to reach more people even through our online message, right? Than what we do. But it's perhaps because whether some have said or just feel it, that it's futile to serve God. It goes on, these words that are harsh to God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty and giving our tithes and our offerings and our first... Oh. Verse 15. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, but we've never said that. Oh, that guy down the street. You should see how he lives and he drives this big Cadillac or something. Maybe a BMW or maybe a Porsche. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. But then we have some wonderful words beginning with verse 16, and that's addressed to us here and listening online. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Isn't that good? He listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Verse 17, God says, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. His son who serves him. He blesses his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Are you looking toward the day of seeing that distinction? We will begin with the account of Elijah by turning to where in our Bibles?
1 Kings.
To what?
1 Kings.
To 1 Kings? What chapter?
1718.
1819? No. We're not going to turn there first. We're going to turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. See, the New Testament is more important anyhow, right? Matthew 17. Are we there yet? Maybe you got there before me. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. These three guys traveled with him to some places the others didn't. Why only these three guys? But a high mountain. Verse 2, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. We've heard Tanya talk about Moses. We're going to talk about Elijah. Okay? But they were talking with Jesus. Elijah talking with Jesus. See, Elijah was a man just like us. We talk with Jesus, right? Verse 4, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Those are still the Father's words to us today. Listen to Jesus. Moses and Elijah were. They were talking with him. Verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Boy, our catchers wouldn't have been very much good. Hello? See, isn't the Bible interesting and exciting? If you just take time to see what it has. They fell face down, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. What a touch can do. He touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. Boy, we have people in our world today that need to hear those words and feel that touch. Maybe some of us in here need to hear Jesus saying to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until. So there would be a time for it, but not until. Until what? Until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The disciples asked him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Oh, that's our topic for today. That Elijah should come first. Verse 11, Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. See, when it says that Moses and Elijah appeared there for Peter, James, and John, I didn't catch that there were any introductions made, did you? Huh? What, they just recognized them? Huh? Peter just recognized Elijah? Well, of course. He would have recognized him because he read in 2 Kings verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8. You've got that noted, right? Because Elijah in 2 Kings 1, verse 8 says that he had a garment of hair and with a leather belt around his waist. And John the Baptist, Matthew records in Matthew 3, verse 4, that John the Baptist's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. You see, Elijah and John the Baptist had the same tailor. They had the same tailor. Or at least they shopped at the same store. So, Elijah. Now we will look to 1 Kings chapter 16. We don't want Tanya unhappy today. 1 Kings chapter 16. And we'll look, because we wanted to see what the times were, you know, and Pastor Rodriguez in his book addresses a lot about describing the times that you and I are living in and see day in and day out. How about the times of Elijah? In chapter 16, beginning with verse 29, we read, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. This ruler set a record. More evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before them. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also buried Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. Began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for the Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. And then there's a little excerpt about in Ahab's time when Jericho was rebuilt at a cost. chapter 17 now, issues an introduction to Elijah. So in chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, we read these words. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe at Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." That's how bold we are when we make statements, right? I don't know, the lights shine this way, so I can't see the expressions out there very well. "There will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Wow. He must be a prophet. He must be a prophet. Well, if you would keep your finger here, because you'll need a little marker, right? Maybe me too. If you would turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, please. And in 2 Chronicles, we have the account of when a great enemy in multiplied numbers came against Jehoshaphat, and he prayed. And after he prayed, you will see in verse 13, we'll read that. "All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones." The men with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Man, we've been doing it all wrong here. You guys are too comfortable in those chairs. I'll see if we could have them removed next week so we can stand in the presence of the Lord. Because we would be able to do that, right? Because Elijah was just like us. But, okay, anyhow. Verse 14, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah," and it goes on to describe him. "But so as Jehoshaphat prayed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man, and he spoke some words." Skipping to verse 20, you'll have to read the entire account. It's really an extraordinary story. "But early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, Judah and people of Israel.'" Please notice what he said. "Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld." That's all we have to do, right? Have faith in the Lord our God, and we will be upheld. That should be an encouraging word, right?
Yes.
But please notice how he goes on. "Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. You see, there is a place for prophets in the church today. In fact, doesn't it tell us in Ephesians chapter 4? "And he," referring to Jesus, verse 11, "gave some," or appointed some, "to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, to perform works of service, for edifying or building up the body of Christ, until we attain unto the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the stature and fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be as babes tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine." And the chapter goes on. To me, it's interesting. I don't believe there's any Christian church that doesn't have at least one person that they call a pastor, right? See, I've had people ask me, I've asked them to ask me what I am, and I tell them I'm a truck driver. And I tend to get the same response most of the time because they've never seen me driving my truck. But you see, every time someone asks me what I am, I can tell them I'm a truck driver. Amen? I'm a truck driver. But you see, if I'm not driving a truck, I am not a truck driver. Not everyone who calls themselves a pastor is really a pastor appointed by Jesus. We're studying about Elijah, a recognized prophet of God. Not everyone who calls themselves a prophet is a prophet. But you see, if we turn to Isaiah chapter 44, please. And I'll begin just a little bit early to launch into what I desire to share in verse 24, please. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. Who formed you in the womb? Who formed you in the womb? Boy, is that being under attack nowadays. Huh? He goes on, I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens and spread out the earth by myself, who foils the signs of false prophets. He foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners, who overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense. And we have a lot of nonsense in our world today. But please notice verse 26. Who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messengers. He does this for his servants and his messengers. Not everyone is a servant or messenger of Christ. Perhaps a caution in Deuteronomy verse 18, please. You know, and we keep in mind that in Amos 3, verse 7, I believe it is, it says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing but what he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's kind of an interesting verse as well. But Deuteronomy chapter 18, please. A question is brought up that perhaps you have had on occasion. The Lord said to me, this is verse 17 in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. I, God, will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I commanded him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. This is God speaking. But a prophet who presumes to speak in the name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods must be put to death. God took this position very strongly. You may say, it goes on, to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? We have an answer. Verse 22. This is the word of God. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, That is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. I believe those are a few verses that could be kept in mind. There are a lot of voices in our world today. And we even remember the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 7 when he said, beginning about verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." But he says, it's by their fruit you will know them. Because a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, neither can a bad tree bring forth good fruit. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. If you're reaching down to pet what you think he is a sheep, and instead it's a wolf, you know you could lose your hand or more. So Jesus spoke those cautionary words. Ezekiel chapter 13, please. See, Elijah was a prophet, but Ezekiel chapter 13, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Beginning with verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel writing. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. Boy, that would be a task, huh? Being called to prophesy against prophets. Be a prophet sent to prophesy against prophets. That's a little tougher than just prophesying to ordinary people. Huh? Okay, he goes on. Prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, foolish, to the foolish prophets. Now, you understand that the word woe is not a statement of blessing, right?
Correct.
Okay. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among the ruins. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord or for the church in our day today. Huh? Amen? Their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They say the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them, yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. So, prophets. Elijah was a prophet living in challenging times. He was introduced to us in 1 Kings. Amen. Elijah the Tishbite. So remember now, he said there will be no rain until I say that there will be rain. Boy, what a climate czar he would make. Whew. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, who was a man just like us, right? Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. A raven is really kind of a type of crow, right? And we would say, yeah, God, right. I've seen them on the highways. And what they're doing on the highways is kind of disgusting. Because they'll practically eat anything, right? Including dead animals. And you, God, are going to choose a raven to bring me food? Right, God? But Elijah was a man just like us. So we would say, great, right? Verse 5. So he did what the Lord had told him, just like us. We do what the Lord tells us, right? He went to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Boy, that's practically like being in the Bahamas during a famine. And those ravens were more committed than many people. Amen? Every morning, every evening. Isn't that amazing? Do you see stuff like this when you read the Bible? Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting.
Huh? So if there is no baby formula on the shelves, maybe, oh, we just need an Elijah. Verse 7. I can tell we're not going to get all through the story of Elijah this morning, and he's only half of the characters. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Oh, yeah, that's right. Elijah said, not until I give the word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. That wasn't even in Israel. Go to Sidon and stay there? I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Yeah, that's just what you need, a widow to supply the man of God with food. Because I'm sure that widows would like to take on challenges like this, right? Or single moms. I mean, if you're a widow, you're a single mom, but, you know, you could be a single mom and not a widow. But anyhow, we go on. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. I don't know why he didn't send him to the mayor of the town. That would make more sense to me. Verse 10, so he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar? This is during a famine. And here's this guy, his brook had dried up already, and he's asking for water? So I may have a drink. As she was going to get it, he called, oh, and by the way, bring me, please, a piece of bread. Yep, those preacher types, they always want to be taken care of. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Boy, God really messed up here. Sent Elijah, I mean his man of the hour, his climate czar, sent him to a widow who didn't even have any bread, but she did have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. See, if you allow God to, He can bless you in ways you would not even expect. Well, let's see. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." Oh, that's what Jesus says. "Don't be afraid, lady." She's preparing to die. One meal left for her and her son. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first you have to bring me an offering." I mean, these preacher types, you know. "You have to bring me an offering." Well, what did he say? "But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have." God never expects you to bring from what you don't have. "Make a small cake from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food most days. Are you following along out there, or am I just reading words? So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. See, Jesus had read 1 Kings 17, verses 14 and 15. That's how he knew he could multiply the bread and the fish, right? And he fed 5,000 people. Because he had read and been taught that Elijah did it for a woman and her family during a famine. In keeping with the Lord, word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the woman and the story goes on. Well, I guess we have a place to launch off from next week. I don't know how we're going to get to Elisha. But anyhow, please be mindful of words that I have shared in anticipation of learning about a prophet living in difficult times, who was a man just like us. Never sell your God short. Never sell your God short. Because He is the God that can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. Never sell Him short. So we'll close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise You, for You are good. Your mercy endures forever. We praise You, Lord, for You are good, and Your mercy endures forever. Impress those words upon the listeners here and those online. Because that was the song that Jehoshaphat sent ahead of the enemy, ahead of his army toward the enemy. And in spite of the extraordinary number of enemy, they were totally destroyed. Praise the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. And so, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would print your word indelibly upon our hearts and minds, that it will be an encouragement to us in the times ahead. And there is still more to your story, Father. And so may we always be as the Bereans who received the word of God with great eagerness, were described as being more noble than the Thessalonians in Acts 17. May we be like them, receiving the word of God with great eagerness and searching the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Help us, Father, by your Holy Spirit to be critical listeners, but also readers of your word. And we ask, Father, any time, whether by ourselves or with others, that we open your word, that you will give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may come to know you better, and that you would open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding, that we may truly be enlightened and come to know evermore your incomparably great power for us who believe. And for this we believe you, Father, so we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.